Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 75 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Leonard, joined by Todd. Todd, how we doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Fantastic. Getting ready for the big weekend coming up?
That's right. Huge weekend.
Right off the bat, we're into the, Scottish impression?
No, I'm telling you, that's from Mystery Science Theater 3000, when the guy would go, I'm huge. But anyway, don't worry about it.
Oh, don't get me started. I was corrected quite a bit on my guffaw, my mistake, in regards to where the McLeod thing came from. Still, what now, 3 weeks after that episode of After Dark came out, I'm still being corrected?
That's right. They keep dropping in McLeod references.
Listen, at least people are listening.
That's right. Now we're on McLeod 9, I think.
So did you see Mystery Science Theater is trying to come back?
I heard there's some sort of initiative or Kickstarter or GoFundMe with stickers or something.
Right. I was informed there were stickers. I didn't really get a chance to delve into the Kickstarter. They're only looking to raise $2 million, Todd.
Well, let me check the couch cushions. I'll be right back.
Right. So again, I'm not sure how I feel about this, only because, like, I think it's like the Joel crew, like the Mike and who else does the Riff Trax? Like, the Riff Trax guys probably aren't going to be involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
But the other group of guys will be, who have been doing Cinematic Titanic. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's a lot of nostalgia around Mystery Science Theater, but can you go back again, Todd?
Can you go home?
I don't know, though. I got to see what those stickers look like before I really, really plunk down my hard-earned cash.
Before you put you down your $2 million?
That's right. But there's other news to discuss this week. Already talking about Free Comic Book Day, and it's not even May.
Oh, May Day, May Day.
Comings and goings of comics based on TV properties, or TV properties based on comics.
Mm.
And beer.
Beer is good.
Beer is good. I was informed the other day when my wife was enjoying a beer with dinner. My son's like, Mommy, you don't like beer. Daddy likes beer. And I said to him, no, buddy, Daddy likes the hard stuff.
That's right. Alcohol, the cause and solution to all our problems.
Yes. Some convention news. Of course, there's a ton of conventions this weekend, like there is every weekend. And one of note, directly ties into this show.
That's right. The most important con this weekend.
Yes. Digital sales and some new freebies as well. Marvel has cycled in some new stuff. And some stuff that we had read from this past weekend is a Todd-heavy week. As I did read James Bond number one, but Todd is going to talk about Hercules number one. And did you get Extraordinary X-Men number one?
No, I didn't.
And it's going to be an interesting one. A book for me, a book for you, and James Bond.
That's right. Are you calling me fat? Is that what you're doing? It's a Todd-heavy episode?
No.
Okay.
Of course, what we're looking forward to coming out this upcoming week, all of our little contests, things that you could interact with us, the ESPN Pigskin Pick'ems. And of course, at we're nearing the end of our tournament to determine the number one character as voted by you, the listeners of the show, and so on and so forth. We're wrapping up the indie bracket here. We've got one more matchup for the Marvel bracket before we get to the finals of each of those. So we're almost done there. And, of course, we're going to talk about Walking Dead from this past Sunday and last week's The Flash. We're always a week behind in The Flash.
That's right. We lag behind on that.
And we're getting people on board with the shows, Todd. Both our discussions of The Flash and Walking Dead are getting people to check out both shows, either for the first time or again.
That's what we do.
Mm-hmm. And just one of the, like, non-notes news bit. I guess Harry Dean Stanton has been cast as Negan in the show.
Oh.
That's a thing that's happening.
get your Walking Dead 100s ready.
Negan is coming, so don't be afraid.
Mm.
So, you know, and it's one of those things where, like, I'm like, nah, I don't need, like, I'd like to be surprised that Negan is coming. But again, obviously, I've given up on attempting to avoid people spoiling things or tipping me off on what's going on in Walking Dead ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Leonard, there's zombies on that
now, did
show.
I say Harry Dean Stanton? What the hell's my problem?
You did say Harry Dean
And you
Stanton.
Didn't correct me. Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
What? Jesus. It's not Harry Dean Stanton?
No, that's a whole different show.
That's a whole other kettle of fish.
Scott Bakula is playing Negan.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Right.
Oh, boy.
So Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Everybody delete those tweets telling me that I'm wrong.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's just saying that it's going to be late this season with a larger role next season.
Oh,
boy.
Big role. He speaks softly but carries a big stick.
Yes. I don't know if you remember this. Maybe you do. I don't know how your memory works.
It's
when issue 100 came out, like, Image did a deal where, like, you got, like, all these different variants of it. You got all the variants plus an extra one that you can only get in this box set. You got a shirt that had Lucille on it. Mm-hmm. And you got, like, a watch and, like, a signed print and all this other nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
My brother got that for me for Christmas one year.
Right.
And with issue 150 coming out here shortly, maybe within the next 2 months, right around the time that Negan is going to be appearing, I've got literally a box full of number 100s.
Really?
Yes, because he got that. It's all these different variants.
Okay, because I remember, do you remember when we were at the shop for issue 100
mm-hmm.
and you wanted the cover that was all, like, remember, like, the cover scheme for those issues, like 97, 98, 99, 100.
Right.
And they were all, well, they were out of the ones that you wanted. And I remember swapping you for one of the like, whatever artist covers. So if mine ends up being worth less, I'm taking it out on you.
I'll swap you.
No, not now, no. You whined a lot at the shop, so...
I want this one.
You want a little cheese with that wine, Chikarson?
I do. So let me look.
I have the Lucille bat. That's all I care about. That thing is going to... I'm going to retire on Lucille bat futures. What?
Yeah, there's 19 different covers for that one.
All that matters is the chromium one.
I think I have the chromium one.
I want one of the chromium
ones. Hang on.
Maybe I'll buy that chromium one.
I have the box right here.
Uh-oh.
We haven't even gotten to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. It's all Negan all the time here on Long Box Heroes.
Aha, yes. Okay, so... For the video portion of the show that nobody else will see except for Todd.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he turned on the camera. Yeah, that's the one I traded you for.
Okay, so I got that one.
Mm-hmm.
This one.
Okay, no, I don't have that one.
This one.
I don't have that one.
This one.
I don't have that one.
This one.
I think that might have been the one I traded you for.
Okay. This one.
Okay, I don't have that one.
This one.
Okay, no.
Oh my God, this one.
It's a lot of Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm, I told you.
And you're not done yet, are you?
Nope. This one.
Uh-huh.
Which you can see is signed.
That's signed. That's mm-hmm. You should CGC that.
And this one.
Oh, I want the chromium one.
I also have the watch still in here.
Oh my goodness.
And then,
why aren't you found rummaging these?
And then this print, which is also signed.
Oh, boy. You're rich. You're a rich man.
And then I also have in there with it, just because, remember last episode I talked about saving calendars?
Oh, yes.
Here is a 2012 Walking Dead calendar.
Oh, my good. In case 2012 comes around. I think it's still 2012 in the show.
Oh, and look, the watch... is numbered and signed as well.
Oh, 46 of 500.
Uh-huh. That's my nest egg.
I have a basketball that was signed by the Dream Team in, you know, Michael Jordan and Larry Bird.
And those other guys?
Yeah, that's all that really matters.
And that comes in this fancy box.
Oh, that box will get you something.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that Negan is coming, I'm a millionaire.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm turning off my video now.
That's okay. I got shot in the leg with a knee gun.
Ugh. So let's get into some of the actual news.
Yes.
With our Walking Dead tangents.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bunch of talk going on that some of these smaller press publishers are being rejected, I guess, for Free Comic Book Day.
Really?
Yes. So it's one of them is actually 2000 AD, which is a UK publisher.
Heavy
that does
metal,
like
right?
Judge Dredd and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they were informed that they had to get their costs down to 20 cents or lower per issue so that they would be able to sell it through Diamond and Diamond can offer it for free. There were applications from 55 publishers, 74 books from those 55, because Marvel and DC and Image always have more than one, of course. They don't want to take too many, of course, because they don't want it to be overwhelming for the retailers. And then, obviously, some of the other folks, you know, unfortunately, just due to, you know, the wanting to make the event too big or too small, got squeezed out, which kind of stinks because this is the way that a lot of people get their stuff out there. It's Free Comic Book Day. People, this is how you will find your new favorite comic book.
That is true because like, Secret Wars isn't going to get any, you know, push because nobody got a Free Comic Book Day of it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like there's been a lot of interesting, cool things over the year. Oh, you know, there was one of them years and years ago. It was, I don't think the company's around anymore. I can't think of the company, but I remember seeing it was a Free Comic Book Day, The Ballad of Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
And I remember like, what is that? And it was like, oh, we're taking the, you know, the legend of Sleeping Beauty and we're making it a Western. And I was like, that's the Free Comic Book Day one I want. And I went and I ended up getting, you know, all the issues and I enjoyed it. And then there was like, Robin Hood and the 40 Ronin or whatever, like, was the next one and everything. And I was like, was the next Free Comic Book Day one? And I was like, this is the kind of stuff that gets, like, without that, I would have never noticed these books. Now, granted, that company went out of business for the next miniseries, but that's how I, you know, got a few things. I'm trying to think of a couple other books that I was like, yeah, that seems very interesting and tried it and made me purchase their stuff. And I noticed their company and would, when I was in previews, would be like, oh, like, what do they have coming up? I'm going to try that. So,
right. So, you know, obviously I kind of get both sides of it. You know, it's the smaller publisher, of course, want to be part of it, but then if just everyone's involved, then there's just too much. And then the, you know, obviously retailers aren't going to order everything. They are going to order the big name things or the things that their clientele come and say, hey, I want this or I don't want that or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So the website, The Outhouse, which I'm a fan of, it's theouthousers.com, not a sponsor of us. You know, that's maybe a discussion for another day, but they are going to do something where they're going to do a free indie comic day that any independent comic company that wants to submit their stuff as a PDF to them, they will distribute it on their website the weekend of actual Free Comic Book Day in May.
So you still get some of that hype, but,
right.
You know, no physical copies. But hey, that the whole point is really marketing at this point. Because
right.
you've been in a comic shop. You've been on there for Free Comic Book Day. There is no other day in our comic shop like Free Comic Book Day. It is crazy.
Right. And that's great that, you know, the more people in, the more people checking comics out for the first time, the more people hopefully will come back.
Exactly.
Yeah. So more on that as that develops, a story that is not going to actually happen until May.
Mm.
Some TV stuff that's going on. So apparently the Supergirl TV show is a hit.
It's a flyaway hit.
Oh, boy. You know, we did an episode where we got as many people as we could from the network to talk about the first episode when the internet gave that to the world for free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm woefully behind on everything, especially since Mike Tyson's Mysteries came back.
Oh, boy.
But I do, I am looking forward to checking out Supergirl. It's on the list of things. But apparently the success of this show reminded DC that they do not have a Supergirl comic currently on the stands.
Well, who needs a comic when you have a big time network TV show with that character?
But you would think that they would have known that this show was coming out and like, hey, let's have a book on the stand. So they did offer to retailers availability to buy like past trades and stuff like that at a discounted rate. And there's talk that they're going to be doing a digital-only book like they do for the Flash and Green Arrow TV shows. And then there's speculation that Green Arrow actual DC Universe might get canceled in lieu of this as well, depending on how successful the Supergirl one goes.
Right, because that's actually Green Arrow is one of the few New 52 books that was, you know, back from the originals. So I don't know. Well, I don't know how much a Supergirl comic would sell. Because like I always say, I'm not saying I'm replace Green Arrow with it. I'm fine with that. But it's one of those like really how much of a bump does it give the books? But there should be a Supergirl book out there. If, you know, somebody comes into comic shop and likes the show, I just don't know how this happened. I guess the only way it could be is it's DC right now.
Right. Well, and again, it's not even DC right now. It's DC kind of the way that things have been for their movies and TV properties for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Whereas even Marvel, like, obviously they're not going to push the, you know, we've talked about this on the show, you know, ad nauseum in regards to things like Fantastic Four and the X-Men properties, but even Ant-Man, when Ant-Man came out, you know, this past summer, the same week that Ant-Man came out in the theaters, and it was a reasonably successful film, there was a new number one Ant-Man comic book that was on stands. Now, granted, it was an annual, and granted, it had nothing to do with the Ant-Man movie that was out, but if you went to go see the Ant-Man movie and you saw the Marvel thing at the beginning and you did not know that this was a character that existed, but you know now that it's based in a comic book and you went to a comic book store in your area, there is an Ant-Man number one waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that may be the only Ant-Man comic that you ever buy, or, you know, you'll read it and it's one of the best comic books being published and you'll become a fan of Ant-Man because of the movie and because Marvel had a new number one on the stands the same weekend that a movie came out.
Hey, Leonard, do you remember when they used to actually do movie adaptations of in comic form?
I do.
Do they even do that anymore?
I don't. You know what? Actually, I don't think it was a movie adaptation, but there was a Mad Max Fury Road comic that was out when Mad Max Fury Road came out.
All new stories. I read it.
Okay. So, at least it was like a tie-in,
mm-hmm.
But it's not like there was like, it's like in the vein of the previous great Mad Max comic books that have come before it.
Hey, all I have to say is the greatest comic book prequel for a movie. Do you know what it was?
Greatest comic book prequel for a movie.
Yeah, these comic books were a prequel to the movie.
You got me.
The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, the comic book.
Wasn't that put out by, like, Eclipse or someone? Like, some sort of, like...
I'm pretty sure it was DC.
Oh, man.
I had them. I don't know where they are now. But they were all like, they were like Ed O'Neill's, like how he was the disco detective and all that. Oh, they were fantastic.
You are correct. It was DC Comics.
That's right. Don't mess with me and my Adventures of Ford Fairlane knowledge.
Now, it claims here.
No, Acclaim didn't do the Ford
Fairlane. No, stop it.
Okay. It claims here what?
They have a very Vertigo-esque trade dress.
As they should.
And there's an inset on them of a photo of the Dice Man telling you something on each cover.
Got you. Yep, I remember that.
Can I find out who the creative team's on these?
I think Gilbert Godfrey wrote them.
I wish.
Oh, that was such a good movie.
Listen, if you listen to this upcoming week's After Dark, you're going to hear Todd and I discuss movies that people think are bad and they're wrong about because they're great movies. Mm-hmm. Ford Fairlane is one of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time where Brian, formerly of Dadstractions, editor of this show, was able to, he and I were able to quote that movie to each other back and forth from beginning to end.
Wow. Just think if we ever put some of this knowledge towards like brain surgery or rocket science.
Nope.
Nope. It's all Simpson quotes and terrible movies.
First of all, not a terrible movie. A great movie. This might be what I'm looking for this weekend at the comic book convention.
What is The Adventures of Ford Fairlane?
Yes.
Well, Christmas is coming up, so.
Written by Gerard Jones with art by Jose Delbo.
I thought you were going to say Jose Garcia Lopez.
Oh, man.
Which would have been fantastic.
With the Dice Man on the cover. It is suggested for mature readers, by the way.
It should be. It should be. You know what that is? That didn't cross over with Tiny Titans?
No, it did not. Next month. So it'll be interesting for DC to take that approach to their TV properties, of course. Now, granted, there's no Gotham show. Or there's Gotham. No Gotham comic, if you will, like that ties into that. I think that would be something that could possibly benefit from like a digital only something or other.
Right. And then everything like that always comes out in comic format eventually.
Right. And that's even the thing. It's like, hey, you, like during the show, just simply do, hey, do you want even more Flash or Arrow or Supergirl or Gotham or whatever? Head over to DCEntertainment.com and, you know, whatever the site is, and, like, here's digital adventures, you know, blah, 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 whatever they want to call them. If they're afraid to use the word comic books, like, they should just have that commercial at the end of every episode.
Mm-hmm. As I used to call them back in the day, illustrated periodicals.
Oh, boy. Well, you're a fancy lad. That's why.
That's right. I'm a fancy gentleman.
That's that other guy.
That's true. But, yeah. And I think, or even commercials for the comics in the shops, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, do you want Flash season, you know, 1.5? Go to the comic shop. They have the issues and trades.
Right, know. And I know people buy them still. You know, all the CW stuff like Arrow and Flash go streaming on Netflix and whatnot. But in the DVD Blu-ray packs, put a digital redeem code in there.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Didn't we have this conversation when, like, Guardians of the Galaxy was coming out? That they were, like, 7-Eleven had a promotion. No, it was Subway. Subway had it. And they actually did the deal where every cup got you at least a digital redeem code of Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Hmm.
You know, like, sometimes you'd get, like, the first issue, or you'd get the first trade, or you'd get blah, 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 blah. But, like, it was, like, prizes all the way up to, like, $1 million or whatever it was.
That's right. That's a good idea.
Yes. So the last bit of news that we're discussing here is last year we had talked about a comic strip appearing on beer bottles.
Mm-hmm.
A company called Arcade Brewery partnered up with Jason Aaron and Tony Moore and had a 6-panel, essentially, comic strip that went across a 6-pack of Dutch Courage beer or something of that nature. I'm not sure. Session Ale. I'm not a beer drinker. But this time, the people that they have involved is Darwin Cook and Jimmy Palmiotti.
At least we know what they're going to have at their panels, when, you know, at their drinky panels from here on out.
Yes. So Now, I know when this had come out last year, we may not have tried as hard. You know, we sent feelers out to people who we know are fancy beer gentlemen. Then it kind of sort of went nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But now with this, I might try a little bit harder to get these.
Mm-hmm. Get them signed.
What was that?
Yeah, can I get my alcoholism signed?
Yes.
To a convention?
And then I just went to this this arcade brewery site, and they got a lot of cool stuff there.
Do they have the Jason Aaron beer left over?
They don't. They don't, unfortunately. But they do have one that is a Mega Man pastiche, which is called Mega Milk, which is an oatmeal stout.
Your boy would love that.
He certainly would. Hey, buddy, it has Mega Man on it. You like Mega Man.
Chug, 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 chug.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, that'll be interesting when that comes out. Like I said, I'm going to try a little bit harder to get that than mm-hmm. I did with the other one.
I wanted the Jason Aaron one more, but.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't look around the site that hard.
See, I thought you were going full tilt for me, but
we've already deterred from the show so much, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing you pictures of comic books on the camera. You're doing Harlem Globetrotter tricks with the basketball.
Hey, that's what we do. We bring the entertainment. If it's just for us, that's fine.
That's right. Listen, if we're laughing, then you should be laughing.
That's right. My laughter is like the best gift of all.
Right. So this weekend, there's a bunch of comic book conventions. There's one called the Jersey Shore Con. It's a one-dayer, smaller con. There's two big cons going on, one here in the States in North Carolina that has a litany of big guests, Cliff Chang, Tony Harris, Christos Gage, and then Thought Bubble is actually going on as we speak, which is crazy. It's like a week-long event in the UK. All the UK creators are there. Your Paul Cornells and Al Ewings and people like that. But Scott Snyder is there, Assad Ribic. It's huge. It's almost like what South by Southwest is, or one of those type things here in the States. That's kind of sort of what Thought Bubble is becoming.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not just comic books, it's like everything entertainment. It just so happens that there's a lot more comic books at this than there would be at something else.
If anybody's going, get me an Assad Ribic commission.
Right. I hear he does them for free.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell him you heard it on this show that we, specifically Todd, said that he does free sketches.
That's right. Basically what I want is retired Thor fighting Doctor Doom.
Okay.
Go get that for me.
On the side of a van.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
But the big convention this weekend, Todd.
Really?
There's even bigger than the North Carolina and Thought Bubble ones. There's one happening at the Radisson in downtown Scranton this Sunday. What's so special about this convention, Todd? You and I are going to be there.
That's right. We are the draw.
Well, even though neither of us have any artistic ability whatsoever, we're going to be there hawking our wares, talking to people, glad-handing.
Should I bring some of those little cards that we have?
Yep. Me saying this aloud was just like, I got to remember to bring the stickers.
Oh, we still need to get on some merch, man.
Listen, I'm slacking. We talked about this. If anyone knows how to convert a JPEG to a PNG file, email the show, longboxheroes@gmail.com. I'm dumb. I don't know stuff. But yeah, if you are near Scranton, and again, it's a smaller con. You know, it's not like one of these big mega conglomerate deals. It's a smaller con. A lot of stuff to buy. Free for the kids, I think.
I'm pretty sure.
It's a Sunday, 10 to 6. You can come see scenic downtown Scranton. My wife and son might be there. Kids 5 and under are free.
Yeah, and we'll even have those cards that we have. And I'll bring the silver Sharpie so we can sign them, Leonard.
Oh, there you go.
That's right.
I got sharp. Oh, you know what? I have a silver Sharpie that I have just for that occasion. For the rare occasion that I have to sign something.
The silver. Are you the silver Sharpie?
Mm-hmm.
That's your new hero costume.
The silver Sharpie.
We should contact Sharpie. See if they want to be sponsors for Shining Comics.
As soon as I'm done contacting McDonald's to see if they want to sponsor the show. Did I ever mention Carvel blew us off?
Fudgy the Whale didn't have time for us?
That's right. That's the last time I'm saying that company. I get my ice cream elsewhere.
No
cookies. Or my frozen dairy treats elsewhere. Let's not go crazy and call what they sell ice cream.
That's right. I'm a Friendly's man now.
Oh. No, we go local with our ice cream now.
Turkey Hill?
No, there's a Michael Moots candy shop down the road. They have an ice cream stand, and then going up toward the arena, there's a place called the Snack Shack, which is delightful.
I've been there.
One of my favorite places to get ice cream. Not the other place that I mentioned. Never going there again.
That's right.
Even though it's literally a block away.
This is Tom Carvel for Carvel Ice Cream.
We've discussed this before as well. Have you ever heard the Patton Oswalt routines about Tom Carvel?
I think I have, but it's been a while.
All right. Do yourselves a favor, folks. Not safe for work, of course. Just Google Patton Oswalt Carvel and enjoy. Also to enjoy, I'm going to be appearing on Friend of the Show, Mark Cole's Winter Palace podcast this week. I think we're talking comic books and maybe Howard Stern. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
He keeps asking me if I've read comic books lately. And I said, I read comic books all the time.
Oh, boy. Maybe he could talk Doctor Who with you, too.
No, I'll just hang up.
You'll just hang up?
Did I skip the Doctor Who story in the news?
Yes, you did.
Hey, there's a Doctor Who Fourth Doctor comic book coming out.
Subconsciously, you buried the Fourth Doctor.
No, I honestly had no intention, but we're going off on so many other tangents, like other news stories are just falling by the wayside.
It's all right. I know your hatred of Doctor Who is strong.
I don't hate him. I just don't like him.
But anyway.
I like that Scarf Doctor, and I like the Parsley Doctor. Other than that...
The Scarf Doctor is the Fourth Doctor.
Oh, it's the Fourth Doctor?
Yeah, he's the Fourth.
I thought he was the number one Doctor.
He's fourth in the rotation, but number one in our hearts. Two hearts, because that's what Time Lords have.
But. Oh, Scarf Doctor number one. Bowtie Doctor. Ha!
Patooey.
All right, so some digital sales going on this week. IDW has all their remastered Max books. That's that Sam Keith Image book from the 90s. And I've seen those remastered, like I've seen the print ones. And the digital coloring on them is very nice as well. Also, the Vertigo Sandman stuff is on sale because I think the hardcover comes out this week of what was the new one called we talked about on the show? Sandman.
Overture, and it was last week it came out.
Oh, it came out last week. So it's odd that they're doing the digital sale this week. Anywho, it's like pretty much everything that Sandman touches is on sale.
Interesting.
Like The Dreaming, Dead Boy Detectives, Books of Magic, the two Death miniseries, all of it is on sale digitally.
I wonder if they have the Justice League issues he was in.
They don't.
Oh,
I checked.
Hmm.
Some new freebie stuff available. All the past freebies are still listed. If you go check out the show notes, all that stuff is in there. Avengers World number one by, I think that one was by Nick Spencer and the soon to be, I'm sorry, Nick Spencer, Jonathan Hickman that was by. That was actually really good. The Mighty Thor, which I have no recollection of a Thor book being written by Matt Fraction, but there it is. It's for free. Go check it out. Tell if it's any good.
Hmm.
Daredevil End of Days, number one by Brian Michael Bendis. I do recall that. Bendis kind of end capping his run on Daredevil kind of in the middle of the Brubaker run. And then Cataclysm number 0.1, which is the beginning of the end, like the second time for the Ultimate Universe. Yeah, I think it's finally taken now at Secret Wars.
Yeah, we'll find out in December when it ends.
That one's written by Joshua Hale Fialkoff, who's a, we enjoy his work here on the show. Mm-hmm. So all that stuff is in the show notes. Go check out the sales, the freebies, the so-ons and so-forths. And nothing beats free comics. Oh, and I forgot to mention as well, the DC put their two freebies that they put up for Halloween Comic Fest up. And that is the first issue of the current Pamiotti and Amanda Connor Harley Quinn book. And the Batman Adventures based off the old Batman TV show, the Batman animated series, those were the two books that DC gave out for Halloween Comic Fest, and those are free digitally. Great comics. I highly recommend them. They're free.
Free is good.
So I've talked for quite a while, Todd. I'm going to kick it over to you, and we are going to talk about books that we had read from this past week, starting with Hercules number one, yes. Written by Dan Abnett with art by Luke Ross.
Luke Ross, one of my favorite artists, and he absolutely crushes it on this book. Basically, this book is about Hercules, who has trying to like legitimize his legacy, from being the drunken lout and, womanizer and all that other stuff. So he decides that he's going to take, you find out that he's handed out these cards somewhere, and they're called Hercules Labors Undertaken. And if you come to him and you just discuss what you're looking for, he may be able to help you, but you have to give him a treasure, to do it. And treasures mean different things to different people. And this story is about two kids that come to him and they end up giving them like a Pokemon card, like a rare I don't know if it's a Pokemon.
Do they call it Pokemon in the book, or do they call it like, oh, it's our game that's not Pokemon because we don't have the rights to Pokemon?
Mm-hmm. It's, it's like that. It's a Kaiju card. Looking at it now, it's a Kaiju card, and he gives him a sea monster. And he's like, oh, I enjoy sea monsters. But basically they're saying that something has happened with one of their sisters, and she has a boyfriend who's bad to her, and he's like, well, that's not really my cup of tea, and they explain it more, and he's like, there's something off here. And he goes, and you find out that it's an ancient, wonder, like magical creature that knows Hercules from years gone by, and they have the battle, and he's basically discussing like how this creature has not moved with the times. He's still living in his brain in the past. He doesn't understand things, and Herc is like, you have to bring it forward, and like all really talking about his life and how he wants to do it. And while the whole time Gilgamesh from the ancient myths is living on his couch and just is constantly eating and watching TV, and there's this like lady who runs the house and is like, I guess she takes care of the place. She's trying to tell Herc to give Gilgamesh the heave-ho, and that's like a really funny part. But in between these small labors, or in between big labors, like helping out S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff, he does these because you find out he's going off to a big mission during this, which I don't know if we're going to see or whatever. But I really enjoyed this book. I'm a big fan of Abnett and Lanning in the past. This is only Abnett. If you want a fun Hercules book with some interesting stuff that I think is going to happen, I would highly recommend Hercules 1.
Now, this is a book that was kind of on my maybe list, because I get so many books, and just some kind of fall to the wayside. And I remember when this book was announced, there was some controversy to it, because there was speculation, because everyone wanted Hercules to be pansexual or gay or gender fluid or whatever, because a couple times he had kissed guys and made references to that sort of thing. And I think both Marvel and Axel Alonso had to kind of get out in front of that and said, no, we're not going to be doing any of that sort of thing. So maybe I will check this one out, because again, I am a fan of Dan Abnett's work, and you did a good pitch of this. Like, there's no other, Herc's supporting cast isn't here, but there's no like guest starring Spider-Man or anything like that in this.
No, there's just the story as is, and some stuff, like I said, I really enjoyed it, and There's some other stuff with the treasures, like, you know, what's treasures to people. Like I said, I really think, especially you, Leonard, I really think you would really enjoy this book.
Mm-hmm. I might have to look into this then.
Look into Hercules.
I might look into Hercules.
Hercules.
The book I read from this past week that you did not read was Extraordinary X-Men number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Jeff Lemire with art by Humberto Ramos. Now, this is a book after the fact that I've seen a lot of people saying that nothing happened in this book and that it wasn't very good. And a majority of things like that. Now, I am not as involved in the ongoings of what's up with the X-Men these days. I pick this up only because I'm a fan of Jeff Lemire, and let's see what's going on. What is going on is, this is spinning out of Secret Wars. So already there, we're a step behind. However, in this, Cyclops is dead. Storm is taking over the X-Men, and she is more or less getting the people that she knows of the X-Men. The, I guess, newest person would be Magic is on the team, mm-hmm. and the time-displaced Jean Grey. But it's the X-Men that she knows, and obviously there's no Wolverine, and then the spoiler at the end of this issue is right on the cover of the book. But what they are doing is, while this is going on, they also find out that whatever is going on with the Terrigen Mists is not only killing existing mutants, but it's also, or it's killing new mutants, stopping new mutants from being born. It's also sterilizing existing mutants, so they cannot reproduce. And Storm and this team of X-Men that she is getting together are looking to save any people who are being affected negatively by the Terrigen Mists.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when you look at the team, it's a team of X-Men from the 80s. It's Iceman, it's Colossus, it's Nightcrawler. My only real complaint about this issue is, of all the people in the issue, it seems like Nightcrawler had the least to do. And I have a soft spot in my heart for Nightcrawler, and I wish he just got more to do in this, because it seemed as though like he was in this book to be in this book.
Okay.
But other than that, I enjoyed it. It was a fun book. It does not seem to be tying into anything else that's going on. I will be picking up the Uncanny X-Men book that comes out next month, because more or less that's a continuation of the Magneto book that Cullen Bunn was doing. But yeah, I like this book quite a bit. And I like Humberto Ramos' art. And yeah.
So, do you think maybe with Nightcrawler, it's just because there's so many, not so many people, but it's a team, it's like they just didn't have room in this issue for him, or?
Well, he's in there.
Right, but you know what I mean, like, to do, like, you can only have so many people doing so many things.
Right, and that's, well, he's doing stuff, but his stuff is separate from what everybody else is doing. Like, it seems as though everybody is involved in the main plot, mm-hmm. except for him.
Probably a subplot coming up.
Right, and I'm sure, and it just seemed as though it's like, oh, we got to make sure that we get everybody in this first issue.
Right.
But other than that, like I said, I really enjoyed it quite a bit.
Cool. I'm looking forward to the Cullen Bunn one too, so that's the X book that I'll probably try.
Right. So, the other book that we're going to discuss from this past week is a book that both of us read, and that is James Bond number 1, written by Warren Ellis with art by Jason Masters. Now, before we get into this James Bond book, did you go see the new James Bond movie this weekend?
Yes, I did.
And what were your thoughts on this book, this movie?
I really enjoyed it. There seems to be a lot of mixed reviews on, what the heck is the name of this one? After Skyfall is, what the heck is this one? This is, do you know what the new James Bond movie is called?
Holy crap. I know Batiste is in it. That's all.
That's right. Well, this one is really good. This is my second favorite one after
Spectre.
This is my second favorite one of the Daniel Craig ones after Casino Royale. And when you watch this movie without no spoilers, it makes Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, and Skyfall, and Spectre one giant movie. Like, it's just, it all, like, this ties everything together. And I actually really enjoyed it. So.
Okay, so the comic.
Right.
Comic, as we discussed last week, is not a prequel to anything.
No.
Right.
It is based, from what I understand, and I can't get too much from the actual issue, but it is more of a take on the Bond novels, which I was having a conversation at the movie with, like, the guy I would consider my Bond expert. And he talks about the novels, how the novels take place in the 50s, and each novel is basically Bond gets older throughout the novels. And this is in that time, and this should take place in the 50s, maybe, during the Cold War. And it's more of that vein. And it's, of any of the Bonds, it's more like Sean Connery, but it's more like the novels. And I like him because he's still smooth, but there's such a jerk side to him in this, like when he's talking to his boss or talking to the guy who's assisting him on his mission at a restaurant. And he's likable, but he's gruff too. And I like that James Bond that, you know, from the novels. And I enjoyed this story.
So for me at first, what was not, I don't want to say a little bit jarring, but, an interesting tactic that they took, where, would you say, like, the first, like, 9-10 pages of this is essentially what would be a typical cold open in a James Bond movie?
That's exactly what I felt they went for, was a James Bond cold opening. And it's a bit brutal for a James Bond opening.
Right. And so that's the other thing is, I've seen the Daniel Craig, James Bond movies, but I think a lot of people who are not huge James Bond people kind of think back to your Roger Moore, your Timothy Dalton, those sort of, like, even as back as far as, you know, the Sean Connery Bond films.
Right, Pierce Brosnan even.
Right, right. And it wasn't until the more recent Daniel Craig ones where things, like, kind of amped up the action a bit, amped up the violence a bit, whereas there's more Bond movies that are maybe considered hokey than there are not. And I think I was kind of taken aback by the violence in this just a smidge.
Right.
It's like, whoa, this isn't like the James Bond I was expecting.
Right. Which is funny because I keep going, I'm tying it back to the movies. When you watch Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, and Skyfall, he's like a blunt instrument. Like I've always said, he's like a club. But when you get to the beginning of Spectre, he becomes more of the James Bond that I love. He's silky smooth at the beginning of Spectre. It's one of those, him walking through this city, like with the Day of the Dead festival, and everything about it is like, that's James Bond. And he does this whole thing where he like walks across rooftops to go do his mission. Mm-hmm. And at no point is he not super cool. And it's just like, it's that it in the movies, it's like that. The Daniel Craig's especially is that journey to the, you know, cufflink twisting tuxedo wearing James Bond we know, where the novels, I don't think were ever like that. He was like a slight depressed, you know, slightly, you know, like he was an alcoholic in the books. It wasn't just like, oh, I like my martinis. It's like he was an alcoholic. And I'm hoping we go down that road because that's the way it fits, but he could still be smooth. I don't know. I'm tend to babble a bit when it comes to James Bond, but I do love my James Bond.
Right. And this one isn't like the typical trope of a James Bond movie where it's like, oh, I found out XYZ happens. They're not letting me do it. So I'm just going to go rogue and do it myself. It's like, nope, he's given a mission and we don't get to see the mission, of course, because there's going to be a couple issue story arc, I'm sure. But I enjoyed this quite a bit, actually. I was very surprised by, like I said, the violence in it. And, yeah, I like the dialogue in it, his interplay with Moneypenny, his interplay with Q, all of that stuff, you know, I think would fit in any James Bond movie currently, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
and not being a huge James Bond fan, like, I have a tertiary knowledge of James Bond stuff.
Right. Do you have a favorite James Bond film? Or any of, like, certain James Bonds? Like, I can understand if you're like, this is my favorite Connery, this is my favorite Moore, but I don't even think you go that far.
No, I wouldn't even go that far. I really liked Casino Royale.
That is a fantastic movie. That's one of the best.
Yeah, I really like that one quite a bit. You know, just because it felt so different. Like, I saw, like, from GoldenEye up to Casino Royale, I saw all those ones in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those are not good.
What? Roger Moore, man, as he got older, he only got better.
Well, no, those were the Pierce Brosnan ones.
Oh, you didn't see? I'm sorry. I thought
no.
You said,
well, those ones I would see like on HBO and whatnot.
Right.
But like I saw all of those ones because like you know the group of people were like, oh, it's movie night. Well, let's go see the new James Bond movie. And I'm like, all right, we'll go see the new James Bond movie. And I'm like, really, this is the movie we're going to see? Like, mm-hmm. What was the one where Denise Richards is a nuclear scientist?
That was the first, that wasn't the first one. Was that, that wasn't GoldenEye, was it?
No. The World Is Not Enough. Never Dies?
It's either The World Is Not Enough or Tomorrow Never Dies.
Right. It's one of those two.
Mm.
And that's stuff. A not good movie.
Oh, you're killing me.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
But this was good. If you like James Bond, especially the more recent-y James Craig stuff, then I recommend this book, quite a bit.
Daniel Craig.
What did I say?
James Craig.
Who's James Craig?
I think he's half James Bond, half Daniel Craig.
Right. He's James Bond to me. He is the real James Bond. That's why I said that.
Gotcha.
Oh, goodness. Okay. I think that covers everything that we read from this past week.
Yes, it does.
All right. So let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. And by doing so, you would need to head over to longboxheroes.com, where every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern time or so, I put up the pull post, which is a link within a link to all the comic books that are coming out this week. More and more number ones are coming out on a daily basis. That changes the codes. Be ready. Be prepared. Know what's coming out. Don't miss out on what could be your new favorite book just because you didn't realize they changed the numbering or your store didn't or whatever digital service that you use forgot to subscribe you to the right book. Either way, we have all the answers for you. We also have all the books that we are getting, and by that I mean all the books that Todd is getting, all the books that I am getting this week, and we try to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. Todd is in the lead with 25 correct guesses. I have 18 correct guesses, and with only 7 or 8 weeks left in the calendar year of 2015, I need to start making some bold choices.
Mm-hmm.
And by bold choices, I mean correct choices. And this is a tough week, as there is a lot of books that could be very easily anyone's most look forward coming out book. But I have to think like Todd.
Oh, dear God.
Is the book you are most looking forward to coming out this week the Image title by Jason Aaron, The Goddamned?
It is the book I'm looking forward to the most.
Yes. Oof, I was sweating on that one.
Oh. Okay. I'm looking over your list. Is the book you are looking forward to the most also The Gosh Darned?
It is not.
It's all new, all different Avengers, isn't
it? It's all new, all different Avengers because it's the new Mark Waid Avengers book. And that is like, and this is one of those weeks. Like, could it have very easily have been The Goddamned? Could it have been Southern Bastards? Could it have been Secret Wars 7? It could have been any of these books. But I'm really, really excited for that Mark Waid Avengers book. Like, that's the book, like, people have been asking me. They're like, what do I do with all these new, these Avengers books and everything else? And I go, just wait. I go, just wait for the Mark Waid one. I go, don't get new. Don't get this. Don't get Uncanny Avengers. The Mark Waid one. That's the one that you want to get. That's the one I'm most looking forward to coming out this week.
Gotcha. You okay?
You're not sandbagging me, are you, to make me feel good about myself?
No, would I do that?
No. I think you might be doing that in the ESPN Pick'ems.
I am doing that in the ESPN Pigskin Pick'ems.
We'll get back to everything else they could do over at longboxheroes.com, of course. But this was a bad week for everyone. Not a single person made double digits in correct picks. I think you moved down and I definitely moved up.
Sure, why not?
Come on, don't be defeated.
You know what? It's more because my Raiders lost a winnable game this week.
Uh-oh.
That had me. Now I'm at 4-4 when I should have been at 5-3. Ugh. Anyway.
Who is Hair Star?
Hair Star is the musician at the comic show.
Okay, so he actually had the best week of anyone this past week. He had 9.
9. So Hair Star is 9.
Yes. Still not a good, it's still not good enough to get him out of 20th place, but kudos to you, Music Man. But yeah, so Stephen Hank still has a stranglehold on that number one spot, but by stranglehold, Dave of Comics of the Green, our comic book shop, is 1 point away from overtaking him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 6, but, you know, that's just me.
You are sick. Oh, mm-hmm. 6.
I'm sick, gotcha, in the head.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to, with only 7 weeks left in the, or with only 8 weeks left in the season, we got to get order in that trophy.
That is true. He's looking up a trophy.
No. So anywho. Also, while you're over at longboxheroes.com, you can follow along with that. Don't forget to do your picks. I think a lot of people have already given up and they stopped doing their picks.
No.
But they're still doing pretty good. They still have a really good showing, even though they stopped doing their picks.
They're doing better than me somehow.
Over at longboxheroes.com, you can read all the rules in our contest to win a piece of original art. We've had a entry come in. First one in quite some time. I think with the delay of the Captain Marvel movie, it's kind of slowed some of the entries. Don't let the entries slow you. Make your voice heard. Get a free piece of original art from our good friend Tom Derenick, artist currently on Secret Six, as well as the KFC Colonel of Two Worlds book, which is a digital freebie as well that we have in the show notes. Also, while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner across the top of the page. Thanksgiving is coming up. If you have one of those Amazon Fresh deals, order all of your vittles for the upcoming Thanksgiving and have them sent to you, and we get a couple bucks in the back end whenever you do. Someone this past week through our Amazon click-through purchased the Funko Pop World Wrestling Entertainment Mystery Mini Boxes.
Ooh.
I hope you got the Daniel Bryan and or the Ric Flair figures.
Ooh. Ric Flair's grandfather's figure.
No, this is Ric Flair. This isn't the old man. Well, it is the old man, but it's not when he looked like the old man that he does today.
Gotcha.
And then someone also purchased a Doctor Who Ladies TARDIS wallet.
Good. I'm glad.
And I think since there wasn't an iTunes review this week, someone purchased that so they know I would say something Doctor Who positively on the show.
That you have to. That's the only thing you can say about Doctor Who is positive stuff.
Mm. When the mics go cold, Todd, I can say a lot of things about Doctor Who.
Oh, boy.
So that is all of that stuff. We talked about us at the Comic-Con this weekend. Of course, the tournament, the second of the two semifinal matchups in the Indy bracket to see who is going to take on Gru the Wanderer in the Indy finals, pitting Red Sonja against Conan the Barbarian. And again, I've been doing my best not to look at the results prior to recording the show, of course. So I'm as surprised by this result as you are. And moving on to the next round, Todd, is Red Sonja.
What?
Red Sonja, with a margin of 6 votes over Conan, moving on to the finals. I'm very happy about this.
Oh, boy. All I have to say is Conan didn't do what is best. Clutch your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentations of their women.
Did you say that in Todd's voice or Arnold's voice?
In Arnold's voice. It's like saying something in the Giant's voice.
Get to the Ciampa.
Get to the
When you listen to After Dark this week, that'll make sense. And hopefully you have the time to listen to After Dark, because there's so many great podcasts in the soon-to-be-named network. Fresher in Parlance is a live streaming YouTube show. Parlance is... Fresher, is slumming and actually wearing a real eye patch instead of the digital one that was superimposed over his face. Even though I don't watch the video feed of this, I only listen to the audio. The RSS feed exists. It's a podcast, guys. Get over it. Puzzle Warriors 3, of course, talks everything in Marvel Puzzle Quest, the latest and greatest. A lot of people have been scoring big in our alliance, the greatest alliance of all time. In the old Marvel Puzzle Quest. Also, Podvocacy returns. David was on vacation. He was at whatever the Disney in Florida is. And they're going to have an episode this week. Prodigal Sons returns this week as well. I peeked in the Dropbox. I saw the files. Whoa. Nothing's edited yet, so I can't steal it just yet. And Dadstractions is still dead.
What?
And I had some good parenting stuff to talk about this week, too. Would have been perfect for Dadstractions.
I'm telling you, anytime you want to start that parenting podcast with me, I'm ready to go. We'll be 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, boy. So that covers the plugs. That covers that. Next week's matchup in the tournament is the second of the two semifinal matchups for the Marvel bracket. We've already got Spider-Man going on to the finals. He is going to take on the winner of Daredevil and The Thing.
Mm.
Now, I usually absolve from voting in these, and one time in the entirety of this, I had to go to Todd for a tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
You can be the deciding vote in some of these things. But this is one that if I was a voting member of the listenership, this would be a tough one to make a decision on.
This one's easy for me.
Well, easy for you. You know, you're going with the character who has the most longevity, of course.
Well, yeah, because Daredevil is recent.
Right, he's a new character.
That's right, created by Mark Waid.
Of course, as I mentioned before, no new iTunes review. As mentioned, if it's a wrestling-themed thing, then Todd is forced to read it. If it is a Doctor Who-themed thing, I am forced to read it. And, you know, we'll say your name, manifesto, Twitter handle, CB name, whatever, on the show. You can follow the show on Twitter at Longbox Heroes. You can follow me on Twitter at LF Chikarison. Todd has two Twitter accounts, Roker the Joker, R-O-W-K-E-R, the Joker, and of course Todd's Art Attack, where people send sketches and prints and commissions and pages and original art to Todd, and we share it with the rest of the world.
Yes. Sharing is caring.
Is there anything else that I'm missing before we get into TV talk?
I can't think of anything.
All right. We've already done so much show.
That's right.
So... you can't feel that you're being cheaped if you don't listen to or care about the Flash and Walking Dead talk, because this is the end of that portion of episode 75 of Longbox Heroes. We are bidding you non-TV people adieu.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's get into TV talk. I gave you less than a few seconds, but a lot of preamble. Let's talk about the Flash from last week.
Yes.
I discussed the previous week's episode, felt like the most not to miss episode that there is, but kind of like, you know, it's firestormy stuff. Not really much happens with the Flash. This one, a lot of stuff happens.
Yes, it did.
More people coming through on the breach. Dr. Light, and there was a surprise on who Dr. Light is. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, Earth 2's Harrison Wells is now part of the cast. And Todd, just when I thought I couldn't love Tom Cavanaugh anymore,
mm-hmm.
the performance he gives as this iteration of Harrison Wells is a sheer delight.
Yes, it is. A little different from the last Harrison Wells.
Just a tad. Just mm-hmm. a tad. He is the biggest jerk in the entire world.
I think they used a different word.
They certainly did.
Which kind of shocked me.
Uh-huh. Well, listen, there was a time where you couldn't say hell or damn on a podcast, and now we talked about a book called The Goddamned, so...
True, true.
When Harrison Wells died at the end of season one, and I saw that Tom Cavanaugh was coming back, and of course he's at the teaser at the end of the first episode of this season, him interacting with all of these characters in this new jerky iteration of Dr. Wells delights me to no end, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate him. I hate this version of Harrison Wells, but I love the performance.
You actually hate? In a good way?
It's his fault that Zoom exists. He admits it.
Okay.
And then he's just so cavalier about it. Like, it's just like, yeah, I'm brushing over the fact that I created my Earth's biggest monster, and I'm just going to make these snide remarks to Jay.
Mm-hmm. Who, that was one of my favorite scenes, was seeing Jay in the costume using his speed.
Yes.
Which is really cool. But one of my slight nitpicks is I'm not a fan of snivelly weakling Jay, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, as I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, I kind of wish, you know, they didn't make Jay. I understand what, you know, they're going to redeem him at some point in the episodes. But I don't know. There's something about my Jay Garrick would have never been that way. He would have never been beaten, if you know what I mean.
Well, you know what? I'll give you this. I'm guessing maybe that this one is going to have a redemption where he's going to overcome all this sort of stuff.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah. But yeah, he's just like completely browbeaten by Harrison Wells. Harrison Wells just comes in and runs shop, and everyone has like this really adverse, and rightfully so, reaction to seeing him. Barry seems to be taking it all in much more stride than everyone else.
But here's one question. Do you think they should know that Harrison, like, that with the face, everybody's like, oh my God, they distrust him? And I get it, because he's, you know, got the face of Harrison Wells. But my one friend said it to me, and I didn't really think about it until he actually said it, was like, it's funny because they hate this guy because it was Eobard Thawne. But like, when you really think about it, it wasn't even him who was the Reverse Flash. He just stole his face.
Right.
So, like, hating on this guy for no apparent reason other than Wells killed him, or Reverse Flash killed him and took his place. I don't know. It seems like they're lingering. If they had said, oh, well, we hate him because, hey, he could be the real, like, you know, Reverse Flash hiding, like, we didn't know. But it's just like, oh, we don't like him because he has his face, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I don't know. But anyway.
And then, of course, we then also get Barry going on a date with Patty Spivot after Dr. Light, who is Earth 2 Linda Park, Swerve.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
I like the Dr. Light getup.
Right.
I really like the look of Dr. Light in this. And I also like how once they figure out that they have an Earth 1 doppelganger, they're like, well, I have to kill them so I could stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that that's what every villain immediately goes to.
Right.
And then Barry goes on the date with Patty, but he had been previously blinded by Dr. Light. So it's a comedy of errors with the date. And the date scene, while corny and hokey in some spots, made me kind of start warming up to Patty a bit.
Me too. I actually like that she sees through the blindness, if that's the best way to put it. Because I was like, oh my God. She's like, come on. I'm a detective. Like, if I can't figure this out, I got problems. So I was kind of glad with that, because I was like, if he gets through this is ridiculous.
Yes.
So I like that.
And he did a terrible job of getting through it.
Yes, he did.
Oh boy. But all in all, I really enjoyed this episode quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I know you've already watched this week's episode. We'll get to it. But I know a lot of the tease stuff is like, we get like full Zoom in this episode.
We may.
All right, good. That's all I need to know, Todd, is we may.
We may.
So was there anything else we need to talk about from Flash?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, so the other thing that we need to talk about from this past week is the most recent episode of The Walking Dead. Now, that just happens to be the title of the episode as well, me saying now, but they are starting to get back into Alexandria. There are people who are still out there, specifically Glenn, who we know, or kind of know, what his fate is, as well as Abraham and Daryl are still out there. And who's with Abraham?
Wasn't it Tyrese's sister? I can't think of her name.
Sasha. Yes. So this is more of the Alexandria people, him and Han, about what to do. But I think the main people who needed to have character moments in this episode, except for Eugene, had really good character moments in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
No, Carol. So Eugene and Carol were the only two kind of like really not having a ton to do in this episode.
Right.
If anything at all. But everyone else had some good character building stuff that really needed to help move that stuff along.
See, I actually dislike this episode.
Oh, okay. Let's get into it then.
Okay. Because it was a lot of, like, even the main characters, just, like, once again, like, a lot of bad decision-making. And, like, and the one that redeemed it was Maggie at the end. It's like, oh, I have to go outside. And then Carl's like, I have to go outside. And I'm like, when it turns out to be the only smart one is the son of the guy Rick killed, then, you know, then I have a problem. I'm like, Carl's like, I gotta go outside. Come on, Carl, you're smarter than that. Like, the zombies are 20 people deep around Alexandria. And I'm like, that bothered me. I'm trying to think of what else bothered me. The one thing that I did like was the doctor, because I'm like, anybody who, like, would be thrown into, like, I never went to school, but I'm a doctor and I'm working at fixing people. I'm like, that makes sense. You can have your breakdown. But all these Alexandria people, again, it's like Rick has done things for them. Rick has, like, saved them. These people saved them from the wolves. And it's like, ah, we're just going to eat all the food, 'cause what's the point anyway? And I'm like, really? You're just going to eat all the food? Like, no rationing. What's, like, we're there already. I don't know. There was just a lot of illogical stuff in the zombie TV show that bugged me.
I guess, but, for me, at the very least, you know, as a zombie fan, we get the reveal that Maggie is pregnant as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes down in the tunnels, and Aaron is the guy that goes with her.
Right. That was the other thing, really quick. It's one of those, oh, we're going to leave out through the sewers,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to leave the opening, because how do you lock that behind you?
Right.
That's one of those things, but that fixed itself. But go ahead.
So they don't make it very far, and they come upon some goop zombies.
Oh, the sludgies.
The sludgies, and I loved it, man. It brought me right back to one of my favorite movies of all time, Return of the Living Dead, with the tar zombie. And it was just, like, disgusting and gross zombies, and nobody got bit, nobody got turned. But it was one of those things where, like, Maggie was making a rash decision in regards to what's going on with Glenn, and I do like that they're dragging out the reveal of what's going on with Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
They're letting us stew with it for a little while.
Right. I'm just saying, as long as it's something good, I'm fine with it. But if it's mm-hmm. a dumb resolution, they're going to have problems. But go on.
Well, you know, on what we had talked about here at the beginning of the show now, of course, that Dick Van Patten is going to be playing Negan in this season.
Yes, he is.
Is that who I said it was?
Yeah, no, it was Harry Stanton.
Okay. So now that Negan is coming on the show, I'm like, oh no, Glenn's going to survive this.
Yes.
Because he's got something else waiting for him.
Oh, I have a whole theory on that I don't want to get into, because I don't want to spoil too much for people who haven't been reading the comic.
Mm-hmm.
But Because I have a feeling if somebody's around, then they're going to replace what Negan does. And I think there's only one character you can replace that with.
Okay.
And that's the motorcycle riding guy.
Oh, boy.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, Todd.
Starting riots, if you know what I mean.
Tread lightly.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it more than you did, obviously. But again, not a ton of hot zombie action. But I think there was enough character stuff to keep people intrigued, I think.
Yes.
So, anywho... I think, was there anything else that I missed from Walking Dead? Like any big major stuff?
Other than the mayor going a little crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think she's going to be okay. I think she's got her stuff together better than she's letting on. And with her son kind of being a jerk in regards to everything, I think kind of snapped her right back into place.
I don't know. I think she's going to have a bit of a meltdown soon.
Right.
As soon as those bleeding walls, something happens to those, I think she's going to have a meltdown.
So somebody, I was discussing the show with people this past weekend at the Chikara events, and there was discussion how they think they will never do, in the TV show, what happened to Carl and Rick in the comic book.
Oh, no, I think it's happening.
Because they say the special effects of it.
Right.
Would be too costly. And we've seen what happens when they try to do costly, or when they try to do special effects, and it does not look that good.
What? Are you saying that they cut corners sometimes?
They do. But something like what happens to Carl and what happens to Rick, if you're going to pull the trigger, pun intended, on that, especially with Carl, then... You know, I think the Carl one is an easier fix than anything else.
Me too.
That's one applique and, you know, you do one or two gore shots of it every now and then and you're good to go. Whereas the Rick thing, I think, could be easily seen. Listen, I'm a little bit behind. I didn't get a chance to see this week's episode of Ash vs. the Evil Dead. But if they can get away with a guy with one hand on that show and make it convincing. Can you see me winking into the microphone?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Then I'm sure they could do something similar on The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. I have to watch the newest Ash vs. Evil Dead, too.
Yes. So I think that covers everything.
I think it does.
Good show today. A lot of fun.
There was fun to be had.
That's right. I hope you, the listener, had as much fun listening to this as Todd and I had recording this episode.
Or even more.
I hope more. Right. That's a good point, Todd.
I always have good points.
Yes. So, you know, we mentioned it before, of course, that we're going to be at the Scranton Comic Book Convention. We mentioned it on After Dark coming out this Friday. But also this Friday, Todd and I are going to the Milford Theater in Milford, Pennsylvania, not only to see Jackie Jokeman Martling, but also to meet up with Jared, Ian, and Adam of Prodigal Sons Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be very interesting, because I don't think you've ever met those characters.
I think I've only ever Skyped with them, and that doesn't seem like a good way to judge a person.
No, it is not. It is not a good way to judge anyone.
No, it is not.
But I'll be very interested to see how that goes. I'm looking forward to having a nice night out in the town.
Yeah, you don't get out much.
No. I'll drive to a wrestling event, stay at the building, commentate or watch the event, and then leave.
Mm. It's a dream life. collect those mad stacks of fat cash.
Yes.
And then go on your way.
Yes, that's exactly what happens.
I know. I've seen the manila envelope full of hundreds.
All right. I think that's a good enough spot to close out the show.
Me too.
All right. So for Todd, this is Leonard closing out episode 75 of Long Box Heroes, and we will catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boo!